A62. Number 7A.
But usually it is misunderstood. And there we have to be very careful when we consider love, that we really don't have a concept of God as love, just as being a big, 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 big sense of that kind of love which we humanly feel is love. It's not a blown-up human love that is just bigger than human love. It's something completely different. And we also see that very often from the fact that Mrs. Eddy uses love with a small l really as an idea of the fifth day of creation, for life. Love is actually symbolizing the synonymous term life, namely it's the laying down of the mortal, and you have in the third degree of understanding, you have on the fifth place love, with a small l. So love with a small l is not really indicative of what love with a capital L means. It's so different. So different. And perhaps just this, that we define love now through the synonymous terms, may help us to get a better sense of what love is. Perhaps even better than just through the ideas of the list of ideas that we have under love. So, let's see what we would find, what love means. If love is mind, we can ask, what does it mean? Or we can ask, what would be missing if love would not be mind? So what would you feel would be missing if love would not be mind?
Intelligence?
Intelligence would be missing?
Mm-hmm. Love must be intelligence.
Yeah, must be intelligence.
Unselfish.
Yeah. What do you think? Yes? Yeah. You see, you started again with ideas, huh? Not with the noumenon counterfeit. And so it was small. It's true what you said, absolutely true. But too small. Because then you could say love would not be love without mind, without creative ability. Love would not be love without power. Love would not be love without action. Love would be not love without law. All that you can say, and it's right. But it doesn't give a big picture. Doesn't give a big picture. But when you see that love is mind, see, that's why I like to point it out, because finally, you just will think, oh, love without mind would not be love as mind. You wouldn't think about any ideas, you see, and you would get a terrific sense. So I try, just through some rules of thumb, to bring thought to that point. And one of the rules of thumb would be just to use the noumenon counterfeit. Yes. Therefore, love, say, that has no mind, love needs mind's infinite conception of itself. Needs God's mindfulness of itself. That is love. When God minds its own business, then it's love. And therefore you have a sense, my word, love has to do that really mind always is aware of itself. And then you get near to love. when mind is always aware of mind, when mind is always aware of itself, then you touch love. Because love says, love is never without its manifestation and object. That's the big tone of love. Not the lovey-dovey sense. Not to be loving. To be kind and smiling and yes, dear, and yes, dear, and yes, sweetie, and so on. But that sense of a synonymous term never loses sight of itself. Then you have love. If a synonymous term is never separate from its own ideas, that's love. So if you have... Yeah, please?
Is that itself a capital I?
No. No. Only the synonymous terms are capitalized. Nothing else is capitalized. Yeah. Yes. Or if we would capitalize it, then we would also have to capitalize love is its own infinite mind, and you would have to capitalize own. And so on. Now, It's only those terms that stand for the whole of God can be capitalized. Whenever a term does not stand for the whole of God, it is never capitalized. Therefore, ideas like creator, intelligence, cannot be capitalized because they don't stand for the whole of God. They only stress an aspect of God, an accentuation of God, but never the whole. Because on the level of divine science, you cannot have a creator. Because on that level, God is not the creator, God is a being. Therefore, creator cannot be capitalized, because it doesn't stand for the whole. It only stands for an aspect on a certain level. And that must be seen very clearly. And Mrs. Eddy said, you know, only when somebody understands proper capitalization, he begins to understand Christian Science. And you can watch that. The moment somebody capitalizes not rightly, to me he's finished as a scientist. I know he doesn't understand the science of it. He just has a mystical sense about it and an emotional sense about it. So, okay, love without mind would be a love that is without its mindfulness, without minding itself. It would not be aware of itself, would not have an infinite conception of itself. That's mind, the primeval conception of itself. That's mind. And so it's a big thing there, because it says, because there exists in being something that is called love, which is a symbol for what? Which is a symbol for saying that being is of that nature that it has always a primeval conception of the whole plane. That's mind love, So that we are absolutely free from a sense that something may not operate according to an infinite plane. Because we don't know love being mind, we have always that sense that things operate in a random way, in a planeless way, in a way that is indefinite, is not purposeful, not aim-directed, not goal-directed. But if we would see that there is in being but one thing, namely love, being mind, then we would see that there is in being a plan, love, conceived of mind, and therefore operating in the plan of love. You know, it's terrific. But you have to be quiet about it, still about it, think about it in the quietness of your secrecy, of the secret place, and think about it my will. What does that mean? That love is mind. Love, you know, is a plan. Is a plan, you know that? Huh? That love is plan. It's a high goal. But it's mind. Which means there is always a divine mind conceiving that plan. It's always a divine mind knowing that plan. It's always a divine mind being mindful of this plan constantly. Can there then be an instant or a thought that says something happens not according to the divine plan? Can then there be a fear or a doubt that something is not operating according to that terrific plan? You see? Because we think they are separate. We are afraid of our future. We are afraid of what's coming. Fear comes in because we don't know that mind is also love, and that love is also mind. Think this out. Just think it out quietly. It's our being. It's our being. We all are sitting here. We all are in this one being. We all have a life. And somehow we all are wondering what's going to happen. What is the future? What's going to happen? What's going to happen with me? What's going to happen with us? What's going to happen with the world? What's going to happen in every way and thing we think of? Isn't it? We are questioning the plan. Is there a plan? We are questioning that there is a plan. If we would not question that, if we would know that love is plan and that love is a factor in being that exists, then we would not question that plan, that there is a plan. And if we would know that that love is mind, then we would know that that plan is constantly conceived of the infinite mind, is constantly aware in the infinite mind, that the infinite mind is always knowing this infinite plan, and is always somehow conceiving anew this infinite plan, and there is no moment where another thought can enter in, where a thought of doubt, of fear can enter in. Don't you think it would be quite a nice life to establish in consciousness love that is also mind? Instead of having a sense that love is a plan and I have to be mindful of it, I have to think about it and I have to think that plan out and I have to think constantly in it and not get asleep so that the plan is always established and always is going to be fulfilled. Isn't that the burden? That's the metaphysical burden. Signs, there the cross is light. Huh? The burden is light. In signs, we put everything back into mind, the divine mind, and the divine mind is constantly aware of itself, constantly conscious of itself, knowing its own plan. All we have to do is to rest in it, to accept it, accept it, welcome it, love it, stay in it. That's what we have to do. All right, we come to love as spirit. What would love be without spirit? Oh, here naturally you have the whole thing, huh? What would be love without spirit?
Unspiritual,
yes. What kind of unspiritual love do we know? It's true what you say. Mark, don't be sidetracked. It's true what you say. What kind of unspiritual love do we know when we say, let's get out, let's take it from the practice?
Love is a small L.
Love is a small L. What kind of love is that? That love is a small L?
Sensual.
allowed? Huh? Material love? Human love? Huh? Physical love? Huh? You see, all those various kinds of love which mankind knows and values very high, rates very high, but are not spiritual, is no love. It's no love. It's just a false sense of love. And this is naturally sidetracking the scientist, the Christian scientist, because he takes in the old paradigm of lovey-dovey and takes it right in into the scientific term love and thinks the scientific term love is a lot of lovey-dovey. And that's wrong. It isn't. Something completely different. Yeah. What is love if it would not be so? What kind of love would we have without soul? Yes? Sensual love, all right. What else?
Absolutely.
That's an on and off affair, yes. See, the unchanging love. Huh? Yes. Yeah.
No stability. No.
It's love remaining love. Huh? That's it. Huh? See, what we can always see that love remains love no matter what happens. You see, no matter what happens, that's the great point, that love never loses sight of being love. So, love remains love even if it leads us through the fire. Love remains love no matter what the experience is. Love remaining love no matter if we lose friends or if we lose our health or if we lose this or that or our income or our business or whatever, love remaining love. Yes? Just is unalterable. Unalterable love. Yeah. It would never change. Yes? And if we come to our principle, what do we see? Love. What would be love without a principle?
It's probably personal.
Very personal love, huh? Yes. What else?
Demonstrable.
Love, huh? Would not be demonstrable or would not prove itself or demonstrate itself, would not really operate by itself. It would be a inactive love. Yes. A love without really operation. Just a concept.
Non-universal.
It would not be universal. Yes. Yeah. What would be love without life? Unexpressed? That's your favorite. Yes? Unexpressed? Right, right.
Lack spontaneity and newness.
Yeah, would lack spontaneity, would lack newness. Yes?
Dead?
Would be dead, huh? Absolutely dead, huh? Dead as a dodo, huh? Yes? Very good. What is love without truth? What kind of love would you have without truth? Think of a practical situation, a love where there is no truth in it. What could that be?
Not honorable.
Not honorable?
It would be erroneous.
Would be erroneous love?
Wouldn't
be honorable.
Wouldn't be honorable.
Is honorable an idea of what?
Well,
how do you get to honorable?
Well, error is dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
Dishonesty is error.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well.
I did like to come back
on it because you're taking now moral and ethical qualities, huh? And not so much ideas, huh? And that is rather difficult, huh? Because then you go right down to the moral level, huh? So let's stay as much as we can on the spiritual level, and see. Yes. So, what did you have? Love, if it would not be truth,
would be a lie.
Yes. Would be a lie. Yeah. It's not so easy, huh, to find a practical example. Yeah, it would be a lie. Huh? It would be an erroneous kind of love, yes. Yeah?
It wouldn't have any dominion.
I guess this is also true. Huh? It's a love that would not have dominion, huh? That would have no standard, yes.
Love without self-consciousness.
Yeah.
Consciousness of itself.
Yes. I think that's, you see, could you see that everybody went right down to the phenomenon, didn't stay with the phenomenon, huh? It has taken us now 42 combinations to find out that we cannot stick to one rule of thumb, huh? Isn't that so? Huh? What is that? It seems to be the most simple, or the simplest thing, that one should be able to recall one rule within 3 hours of speaking, huh? And we can't. And you see how undisciplined thinking is, how science demands really discipline in thinking. For every time, with every one of those 42 combinations, I said, start out with a nominal counterfeit, and most of the time, you brought in a counterfeit phenomena, and not the nominal. You can do it, but it doesn't yield the same treasure. Doesn't yield the same treasure. Why doesn't it yield the same treasure? Can you see why it doesn't yield the same treasure? What is a noumenon? A noumenon is the compound of all the phenomena. It's the root of all phenomena. If we have the root, we have all the others too. That's what a science does. You see, a science is always face to face to infinite phenomena. Always. You investigate biology. What have you at the beginning? Infinite phenomena of biology. What biological? What can you do in a science? In a science, you just, in order to tackle that subject, you have to categorize your phenomena. You have to put the many phenomena first into a few categories, so that instead of dealing with infinite phenomena, you deal with 7 noumena. Isn't that easier? Isn't it easier to deal with 7 than with an infinite number? Yeah, I would say so. That's, you see. Therefore, if we understand the noumena, we hit all the phenomena that are dependent or deduced from this noumena. Therefore, to be faithful over a few things makes you lord over many things. Isn't that the rule? Why? You see, here is to be faithful over a few things, just over 7 categories, makes you ruler over all the infinite phenomena. So, if one starts with science, one should really go along with it, huh? And not constantly fall back to the old paradigm of thinking in isolated ideas. You have to start to think in categories. This is the key, this is the clue. And next week I show you that the textbook cannot be read until one reads it in categories. As long as we read the textbook in terms, in words, we cannot get anything out of it. We need a new paradigm to fathom a new paradigm of reality, which Mrs. Eddy gave. Is that clear? So, we stop here with this exercise. We have come to the end of love with through the seven. But as you do it at home, think of this rule of thumb. You get a much, much bigger sense if you get first to the noumenon counterfeit. Yes? Because it covers a wider field. Is anything not clear up to this point before I change the subject? Yes, please.
I don't quite understand
what love is without truth. Well, Rick says very nicely, love, the plane of love, without truth would not be conscious of itself. The plane would be a sterile plane, so to say. But because it is also truth, because love is also truth, that plane is aware, is conscious of what that plane has to do, and is aware of what it is doing, and is aware of all the details it has to do. Therefore, that plane, as truth, knows the truth about everything in that plane. Yes? Yeah? Yes.
Would we just be saying the same things over?
Well,
like there's seven basic negatives or counterfeits.
Yes. Well,
matter.
Yes, you can, but naturally you will soon find that this involves not just saying things, but that the concept behind it is quite different and is quite big. And therefore it will not be what you would call unfruitful, or just a rattling off of something. But fundamentally, and if you have watched, we were practically every time when we were coming back and say, what is the nominal? We were coming back to those few ones, yes.